Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old. But he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome out for a wonderful show, a show that's for you and about you. Those of you that work so hard for your money, and you want your money working hard for you now. You want that freedom, that cash flow, that passive income, that prosperity today, not 30 or 40 years from now, but right now. So you can live that life that you love with those you love doing what you love. But on top of that, not only are you doing this for your own freedom and your own comfort, but you're doing this because you know as you financially prosper, you can create a ripple effect through others' lives too. That as a rippler, you can create and bless more lives and do more good in the world because you are free. And that's what we're all about here, guys. We are all about that freedom. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a big part of this show and making this movement allow me to create a ripple effect through you and those of you that also are creating a ripple effect through others. So thank you so much. As a reminder, check out our website, moneyripples.com. There's great information on there, including a free ebook you can check out. And you can even shoot me a message if you have any questions here. So check that out. Hey guys, quick shout out to our sponsor, American Homeowner Preservation. Hey guys, if you want to make a great rate of return with little money out of pocket, even as little as $100, and do it while helping other people as well, check these guys out. The website's fundingahp.com. The way they do it, they crowdfund money, people's money together to go and help essentially become the bank. They buy up people's mortgages that are defaulting, people that are late on their mortgages. They help them refinance, stay in their home, and or sell their home so that they can be in a better financial position. And the cool thing is that they pay awesome returns and they pay it monthly. And like I said, you can invest with as little as $100. So check them out. Websites, fundingahp.com. That's fundingahp.com. Check them out. So today I want to talk about really like the time of year it is, which is tax time, right? And it's fascinating because as I've been talking with my wife has been talking to several people that they count every year on that tax return. Now, I know not everybody listening here gets a tax return. I know I don't get a tax return, right? I definitely pay taxes for sure, unless I overpay on my paychecks. But definitely want to talk about that tax return and what you can do with it. Because the one thing I'm noticing is that whatever you think is the wisest thing to do with that tax return is probably wrong. It's probably not the right course to go. In fact, my experience has been showing that many times what you use the tax return for isn't the right thing in the first place. So I want to address that specifically about where could you be using that tax return more efficiently. So now, first and foremost, if you're getting a tax return, right, this is a problem. Because if you are getting a tax return, that means you're overpaying on taxes every single month, every single paycheck. Now, each of you might be in a different situation. Let me address two different groups of you. The first group, if you feel like you're less than paycheck to paycheck, like there's way too much month at the end of your money, then you definitely, definitely should not be getting a tax return. You should be getting that money now. So let's just assume that your tax return that you're getting each year, say that's $6,000, right? So $6,000 means that you're essentially, on average, overpaying $500 a month. Now, depending on your situation, I know some people are much, if you have a lot less income and you got a lot of kids, I see that especially here in Utah. If that's the case, you might not be able to even, you might still get a tax return no matter what you do. But I would say this, is that increase your exemptions on your W-4 form, especially those of you that are employees. Go to Human Resources or whoever does your payroll, get the W-4 form and look at increasing exemptions. Now you can go to an accountant to get very specific on that. But I will tell you that if you're getting a tax return, especially if you're paying, if you notice the taxes coming out of your paycheck are less than your tax return, and this is over the course of a year, you might be able to even go tax exempt for a period of time throughout the year. You may not go that route. You might even just go with a really high number, like 10 or more, whatever that might be. Here's the thing, is that I'm not saying you don't pay your tax bills, right? One way or the other, the IRS is going to make sure they get their taxes, and you're going to need to pay for it. But wouldn't it be much better that you could have that $500 a month back in your life now? If you're only getting $2,000 tax return, that's still $167 a month. Can you use that money more efficiently? If you're negative cash flow right now, you don't need a tax return at the end of each year. You need that money today to improve your cash flow. Now, those of you that maybe aren't paycheck to paycheck, or maybe you're at least okay, you're at least treading water, right? Cool. Well, this money can be used to do more, to create and generate more cash flow by paying off loans or building up your cash reserves or even increasing your passive income, right? And growing that money, which can be great. Again, taking that money each and every month, you could do so much more with that. You know, I even have people that are taking that money now and putting that towards their life insurance to build it up there and make money in that place and then go and invest it. So they're making money in two places at the same time, right? You know, you've got, but I'll tell you, one of the best places for almost anyone that I've talked to, especially if they don't have a whole lot of resource right now, probably the first place you should be putting that money is not towards paying off bills. It should not be even towards investing. Most likely, it should be just building up your cash reserves. Do you have savings? Do you have something that to make sure that you're okay in case an emergency comes up? You know, the ideal is getting up towards 6 months of expenses. So if your expenses are $6,000 a month, you probably want to have at least $36,000, you know, sitting on the side. Now, some of you might say, oh, but I can do this or this. Some of you even overcommit. You might promise money to people. You're like, well, once this tax return comes in, then I can pay you for this or that. Some of you might even have collections like I've had in the past, you know, or people that are got bills out there outstanding. Here's the thing. Is that it's much more important to have the cash than it is to pay off the bill in almost every scenario, because the cash gives you options. But if you use all your cash to pay off bills and something comes up that's an emergency, what, you're going to have to go to a credit card. And that's if you even have a credit card that's available with something with higher interest rates and things like that. So sometimes the best thing you do with that money is put into savings, just even if it's just in the bank. You know, if you have a hard time not touching that money, then put it somewhere else. Maybe put it in an online savings account or somewhere farther away. But in any case, you want to make sure that you've got those reserves first. So I'll tell you, almost in so many situations I've seen, that's almost the first thing I do is at least a portion of it goes towards savings. Second thing is, again, if cash flow is tight, look for, you know, if you saw my show that I did, it was several months back last fall, about the best way to pay off debt. I used my formula called the cash flow index. Look at using that. Look at using this cash flow index to figure out what's the biggest bang for my buck. What could I pay off that actually could free up the most cash flow for me? You know, if, for example, maybe you've got a dental bill that's $1,000, but you're paying $100 a month. That's a cash flow index of 10, because 1,000 divided by 100 is 10, which means that thing needs to get paid off. That would be more important than even sometimes trying to pay off a collection where there's no monthly payment, or even sometimes a credit card. See, the credit card, say it's the same $1,000 a $1,000 balance, but that payment's only $30 a month. I'm definitely going to go for the $100 a month payment. I'm going to get rid of the one with the biggest monthly payment for the smallest amount of money that comes out of my pocket. So really use that cash flow index to determine if you, after you've already put some money aside for emergencies, you can use that cash flow index to figure out which one will give me the biggest bang for my buck. And then, of course, looking beyond that of, can I do investments? Can I do other things with this money? What could be best to do? Now, that's with the money that's already coming back. But again, for future reference, you know, focus on not getting a tax return. Focus on trying to minimize that as small as possible. Because let's admit it. Even if you put this money into savings account, earning a tiny little fraction of a percent, that over the course of a year, that's still going to be better than when the government borrowed it from you at no interest. They're just taking your money and they're overcharging you. Even if you do the same exemptions you should be doing on IRS form, they do it to where you get a tax return. They do it because it increases your morale. They make you feel grateful you got something, like you got a gift. But all you did was overpay the government. You know, you just overpaid the IRS. So again, can you get more of that money cash flow coming in and be more efficient with that cash flow, especially if you're a wise steward? Now, if you have a hard time with that, maybe not putting that money in your hands is a good thing. Your big focus might be, how do they become a better steward of my money? But I'm going to tell you, the best way to become a better steward is practicing better, being a better steward. Focusing on, what can I do with this return that would be better? You know, can I put it into savings? Can I be disciplined to not touch it? If I'm the kind of person that always wanted to touch my money, put in the savings and leave it there for a few months. Even if you know what to do with it, let it sit there. Let it drive you mad a little bit because it's going to test some limits, some mental limits that you have. And you're going to realize that you'll be glad you had that money there, but it'll also free you. The only way to free yourself is to be able to break those limits, you know, break those emotional ties. And I'll tell you, more often than not, the reason that people make not so wise decisions with their tax money is because they're so emotionally caught up in saying, oh, I got to pay off this family member, or I got to pay this bill because they're going to keep calling me. It's like, well, yeah, they're going to keep calling you until it's paid. That's the point, you know? But is it the best use of your money? Because you need to take care of you first. That is absolutely essential. Now, for some of you, maybe you're making great money. Awesome. Again, same thing. Can we improve your cash flow by taking more of your paycheck home and use that? And by the way, go back and listen to one of my previous episodes. I talked about tax savings ideas. I did that one also last fall. Check that one out, because even if you're an employee, there's some great ways to free up some tax money, allowing you to, again, increase your exemptions, taking less of your paycheck, allowing more of your money to come home, and then that money can be turned and create acceleration. You can create what I call an income snowball to be able to invest more and more, creating more passive income streams. So I'm not going to get into the passive income streams today as much, but I will say this, is that if you're getting a tax return, you're overpaid. You can't change that now from 2019, but you can for future years. Fix that. Find out what it takes to increase that so you can get that money coming home instead. Use that money and make sure with this tax return you're getting now, or you've already received, and maybe you've already blown it all, let that be a warning to say, hey, how can I best use this? Can I put some money aside? Can I put this in savings? Because as I just said recently, you need to have that money building up. You've got to start building up some savings to either one, start paying, really getting yourself under control with your cash flow, paying off loans, or two, investing, or three, building up cash for those future investments when the recession hits. So guys, that's my tip for you this week. I hope you make it a wonderful and prosperous and hopefully a non-tax return year in the for those future years. I hope that for you guys. You make it a wonderful week. We'll see you later.
Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.